It's that time in Spain where we are joined today by Bill Blevins and Chris McCann. We haven't talked about Modelo 720 for a while, Bill. So while the 31st March deadline is coming up in a month's time, let's remind listeners what they need to do. But first, what has caught your eye in the news this week?
I think for most of our UK listeners, they will have tuned into Captain Boris's exit plan, his roadmap, as he calls it, out of the UK's various restrictions. It seems cautious, but it also seems sensible, I guess, at the same time. Let's hope that this time there are no huge spikes. I guess the children going back to school will cause a spike, but that probably is manageable. I think it's important for the UK and for anyone really to have a programme that can then be measured, even though there will be variables and things will change. At least if it gets measured, it usually gets done rather more than things that don't get measured. So that is quite good news. Slowing down on vaccines due to supply issues, but nonetheless having inoculated just close to 20 million people is not a bad thing. The vaccine, of course, has led to some movements in currencies. Sterling grew in value against the dollar and the euro, up to the dollar at 1.42 nearly. And it's a warning, really, to our listeners living in the eurozone that they live in a foreign currency country. And if they're holding sterling, just 2 years ago, back in March 1919, your pound would have bought you more euros then than it will today by the tune of about 30%. So it's a warning that if you live in the eurozone, you should be holding euros for a lengthy period of time to match your asset base, your eurozone base, with your liabilities. I was interested, however, to see that Spain's regional authority in Galicia are going to make the COVID vaccine compulsory, and they're going to fine anyone who refuses to have that vaccine up to 60,000 euros. Seems quite punitive and takes away some form of individual choice. The other thing that caught my eye was that Reyes Maroto, who is the Spanish Minister of Industry, Commerce and Tourism, told a meeting of journalists in Valencia that her government plans to incorporate vaccine passports or certificates to the safe travel corridors that they're planning as an element of safe mobility. I mean, Spain does have safety protocols in place, but I think she sees that this as another step. And I think that probably will be something that will be followed by other countries around Europe and perhaps even further afield.
Yeah, I think Boris Johnson is reconsidering that idea as we speak, so we shall see.
Sure.
So moving on, Bill, to Modelo 720, we have some new residents listening to us today, perhaps. So can you summarise what this tax form is for them?
Yeah, there's some confusion in the mind of many people, believing that Modelo or Form 720, which needs to be completed by every tax resident of Spain by the last day of March, they tend to think that it's a form of taxation. Well, it isn't. It is actually a form of tracking the wealth of individuals who fall into the category of making a report, the wealth they have outside of Spain, reporting for any new tax residents, the assets that you have outside of Spain within the limits prescribed. And also, if you have been making Modelo 720 returns over the last few years, you are required to uplift your return if you have made a number of certain changes above the limits allowed. So, you know, the long-term residents of Spain, they will be familiar, I think, with Modelo 720, but the new residents are going to be unclear on what they have to do. The penalties for not making the return are absolutely prohibitive, so you need to get it right, and the deadline each year is the 31st of March. Of course, there's been some concern that if you were a tax resident in 2020, that your obligation to submit a Modelo 720 means you've got to declare the assets that you own outside of Spain, which are worth over 50,000 euros. So this is not a tax return as such, just to emphasise that point. You need to complete Modelo 720 over and above your normal income and wealth tax returns. Now, this is an opportunity because besides confirming what you have to declare this year, this therefore represents a reasonable time to consider whether you're actually holding your assets in the most tax-efficient vehicles for your tax residence in Spain. If you've got investments, which were set up with UK taxation in mind, for example, you're probably going to be paying more tax in Spain than you need to. And this is at a critical time when recently it's been announced by the Spanish General Directorate of Taxes, a public statement that they are going to accelerate their annual tax enforcement plan for 2021, laying out the focus areas of the Spanish tax authorities for reviews, audits and inspections. They're going to be reviewing and auditing individuals who are tax residents in Spain, specifically as regard to taxpayers identified as non-tax residents in the Spanish database, but who the Spanish tax authorities have indications of actually residing in Spain and not registering as tax resident. These approaches by the Spanish tax authority are going to be quite aggressive. Spain has spent fortunes in trying to buffer the impact of COVID-19, and it's pretty clear they're going to have to recover some of those funds by a more aggressive approach to the review and audit of taxpayers. It's going to be coordinated by the Spanish Central Unit of Control of high net worth and ultra high net worth taxpayers, and that unit is now fully operational. So be warned, this is a very important time if you're going to address your Modelo 720 to sit down and calculate with independent advice, talk to someone from Blevins Fakes if you have the opportunity, to ensure that your position in Spain is not subject to an audit or review that could cause you severe disruption.
Didn't the European Commission take Spain to court over the Modelo 720? What's that about?
Yeah, they did. But as is so often the case with actions against the Spanish tax authority, the Spanish took very little notice of it. Just to update you, that back in 2019, the European Court of Justice found that this was a tax event that was both biased against Spanish non-residents, and also and that the punishments meted out for not completing the return on time or making a return that was found to be incorrect, the punishments were excessive. Now, after all these years, the European Commission has finally continued to roll on the case. Nothing much has happened because Spain had pretty much appealed and ignored the judgment. But the EU, or the ECJ in particular, we'll now have to resolve this issue. And it could take some time until this is solved. It could even still be years. We know from previous similar cases, as I mentioned, that whilst this is good news, and in the future, I'm pretty certain the ECJ will enforce this in such a way that the Modelo 720, in its current form, disappears from the horizon every year. It is punitive, it is excessive in terms of punishment, and it definitely is a bias against non-residents of Spain. So I think it will change, but for the moment, whatever you've heard about this case being found against Spain and believing that therefore you no longer need to do it, you would be wrong. And if you miss the deadline, you report incorrectly, you are risking very severe fines. So I would suggest that you complete the Modelo 720, continue listening to this radio station. We will announce in the fullness of time, and if you're applying to Blevins Fakes, you'll certainly be advised in time that you no longer need to do it, but that seems to me to be some way in the future.
Since it's tax residents who need to submit a form, can you explain what makes you a resident in Spain for tax purposes?
That's quite a long story, but to try and summarise, I think most people realise that the Spanish tax year runs from the 1st of January until the 31st of December. And if you spend more than 183 cumulative days in Spain during the calendar year, that is a total of 183, not necessarily consecutive, you become liable whether or not you take out a formal residence permit and whether or not you're formally registered. There are temporary and sporadic absences from Spain that are largely ignored when calculating this number, so you need to be very careful how you calculate the number. If you have your centre of commercial interests in Spain, that is to say the base for your economic or professional activities, either directly or indirectly, and that's a difficult one to understand. So let me give you a simple example. If an individual has got assets or income in Spain of, say, simply 100 euros, 80 euros of assets or income in the UK and 30 euros in Luxembourg, then Spain becomes your centre of economic activity as it's individually compared with each other country, not as a whole with the rest of the world. So if your spouse lives in Spain, you may very well become a tax resident of Spain, just because that will be considered, if she's there full time, as your centre of vital interest that you may not spend 183 days, but provided you can show that you've obtained a tax residency certificate in a different country, the presumption that your centre of vital interest is in Spain because your family lived there may be avoided. As I said earlier, we've been informed by different tax lawyers in Spain recently that they've seen an increase in inspections on tax residency, particularly for high net worth individuals. In some cases, the individuals are only spending a few days in Spain, but the Spanish tax office has been arguing that their centre of economic interest, as their tie with the country, makes them Spanish tax resident. So this is just a reminder that the 183-day rule, which everyone seems to abide by, is not the only rule that's important to determine an individual's tax residency in Spain. A number of other factors have to be taken into account and have substantial relevance depending on the circumstances, as I've tried to explain. It's a very complex arrangement, simplified over the dinner table by a barrack room tax planners. I would suggest, if you're concerned about the period of time you spend in Spain, or you have economic interest in Spain which may be greater than economic interest elsewhere, that you talk to Blevins Franks to absolutely for sure determine that you're on the white side of the equation and not on the dark side, especially with these investigations being ramped up.
Well, let's turn to Chris McCann now, one of Blevins Franks' senior partners based in Spain, to look at some of the Modelo 720 detail. Chris, what assets need to be reported and who needs to report?
Hi, Howard. Turning to the detail, assets that need to be reported are those which are situated outside of Spain only. Assets are split into three reporting categories, which are: number one, accounts held with financial institutions such as bank accounts; two, investments; and three, immovable property. If the value of all assets included in a particular category, in one of those three categories, when added together, exceed the reportable value of €50,000, each asset in that category needs to be individually reported. Now, I'll give you an example. Let's imagine that somebody has three separate bank accounts outside of Spain, and individually, each account has a balance of less than €50,000, but when added together, the balances are worth more than €50,000. Now, in that case, the details of each account will need to be included individually on the Modelo 720.
How are assets valued?
Well, different assets are valued using the wealth tax rules as at 31st December each year. In other words, different assets are valued in different ways. And to just give a few examples, bank accounts are valued using the average account balance over the last 3 months of the year. Most investments are valued using their current values, but where encashment penalties apply, the value to report is the surrender value, which is the current value less any encashment penalties. Properties are valued using their purchase prices. So really what listeners should do is speak to their accountants, who should explain exactly what's required in relation to each asset that needs to be reported. And it's worth mentioning that in all cases, investments held in other currencies need to be converted to euros using the official exchange rate. Again, listeners need to speak to their accountants, who should be able to help with this.
Do Spanish tax residents need to file a declaration every single year?
Well, all individuals who become resident for tax purposes for the first time, or who have become resident for tax purposes for the first time in 2020, will need to complete a Modelo 720 if they meet the required criteria. For those individuals who've already completed a Modelo 720 in previous years, will only need to submit another if the value of the total asset in a particular category has increased in value by more than 20,000 euros, or you sold an asset or closed an account that appeared on a previous report, or you obtained a new asset within a category.
What does Hacienda do with these forms? Does everyone need to be very careful about declaring assets correctly?
Well, Howard, if I may, I'm going to deal with your second question first. Yes, everybody needs to be extremely careful about declaring assets correctly. Firstly, if somebody does not complete a Modelo 720 at all, then the Spanish statute of limitations in relation to tax collection will no longer apply. And what that means is that the Spanish tax authorities, under normal circumstances, can legally only go back 4 years to collect any unpaid taxes. However, if an individual has failed to complete a Modelo 720, the Spanish statute of limitations no longer applies, and the Spanish tax authorities may go back for as long as that individual has been resident in Spain to collect all unpaid taxes. In addition, for failing to file a Modelo 720 or filing it incorrectly, there is a fine of 5,000 euros per omission and a minimum of 10,000 euros per category. For a voluntary late submission, there is a fine of 100 euros per item of information and a minimum of 1,500 euros for each group of assets. For involuntary late submissions, which means that the Spanish tax authorities have come to you first and reminded you that you haven't completed the form, there are significantly larger fines, increasing to the point where tax evasion exceeds 120,000 euros in a tax year and it becomes a criminal offence in Spain and can result in a 1 to 4 year prison sentence. Returning to your first question, what does the Hacienda do with these forms? To be honest, Howard, I don't know, but if I work for the Spanish Tax Office, I know what I would be doing with them. I would be probably cross-checking them against individuals' tax returns to ensure that their tax returns have been properly completed. As Bill mentioned, the Spanish General Directorate of Taxes has released their annual enforcement plan for 2021, laying out the focus areas of the Spanish tax authorities for reviews, audits and inspections for the coming year. Now, to help target individuals to review, audit and inspect, they have actually stated the following. And I'm quoting it, so I'm going to kind of read this. So, number one, they will fully incorporate actual data received by reason of international exchange of information mechanisms, and they will inform taxpayers of relevant international tax information on their records throughout 2021 as part of their tax fraud prevention practices. Number two, there will be an unprecedented use of IT tools and big data in order to profile taxpayers and determine specific individuals targeted for audit and inspection procedures. So, based on this announcement, to cut a long story short, I would expect that the Spanish tax authorities would be using information included in Modelo 720s to help with these types of activities. I think it's fair to say that the Spanish tax authorities, as with all tax authorities across the globe, have no choice but to try to collect more tax to help cover the cost of the pandemic. And these types of initiatives will likely become more commonplace. Look, I appreciate I've gone through a lot of information there, and I really haven't covered the full details. So if listeners would like the full details, please contact us and we'll be able to let them have the full details.
Yeah. But does the Modelo 720 result in people paying more tax? And what can they do legitimately to reduce their tax liabilities in Spain?
No, not necessarily. It obviously results in people's affairs becoming more transparent, and it may also help to ensure certain people pay the tax that is due. But for individuals who are already correctly declaring their taxes, it won't result in them paying any more tax. As our clients have done for many years, if listeners take suitable advice in relation to legitimately minimising their exposures to tax, there is no reason why completing a Modello 720 will have any negative effect on their overall tax position. As I've said on many occasions, Spain is a relatively high tax country, but it is one of the best countries as regards tax planning opportunities. If listeners haven't yet had a discussion with somebody qualified to provide such advice, I would strongly recommend investing an hour or so of your time to learn more about what can be done to provide better protection from tax.
And I suppose the Brevin's Franks website is the first port of call.
Yes, Howard. Listeners can visit our website, blevinsfranks.com, for my contact details, for all of our local partners' contact details. They can also complete a request form, which will be passed through to the most appropriate person, and they will receive contact from us. As regards actually completing a 720, look, people need to contact an accountant. If people don't have an accountant and need an accountant, we have long-standing relationships with accountants, and we can point them in the right direction.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll talk again at the same time next week.
Thank you very much, Howard. Bye for now.